throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Aaron, can you hear me? Aaron, are you there?
I think so.
There you go. Welcome on into Skinny on Sports.
I'm not sure.
That noise, is everything sounding fine? We're trying some new equipment. We got Aaron on the road, obviously. I'm in studio. We're going to try to bring you a show in the most unique way, I think, in the history of radio. Because Aaron's on the road. I will be on the road
okay,
in
here,
just a few minutes. Go ahead.
I'm going to try something for quality. I'm going to take my sound down on my phone as far as hearing. Is okay. That working?
Not really.
No.
Are you still...
Well, good, because I couldn't hear you either.
Okay. Well... might have to abort our experiment.
I think I'm delayed, though.
You are delayed, yeah. Well, I can just easily call you, and we can just do it the old-fashioned way, and I think that's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to go ahead and buy myself some time, and we'll get Aaron on the phone. As we're trying some new – there's basically a new app out there where you can connect with good quality, but the problem is it's bringing in every single sound that you just heard. So I'm going to dial up Aaron – and we'll get him on the phone. He's on his way to Childress, Texas. The Big Elks and the Elkhead basketball team heading down there to play down there in the festival/tournament. So we'll get all the breakdown on that coming up from Aaron. Aaron, are you there now?
I am here.
There we go. See, that just sounds better. It just sounds a little better. We tried it. It didn't work. And we'll just move on to the old-fashioned way of doing radio on the road, and that's through the phone. So, again, Skinny on Sports, your Thursday version. Kind of weird, kind of fun, but full of information because we got a lot to talk about. A lot has happened between the last time we've been on air till now. But I think the majority of our show might be basketball related. So, Aaron, what's going on?
I am just about to head south off of I-40 at Shamrock. I'm in the Texas Panhandle. Heading down to Childress for guarantee of three games today. The Elk City boys could play a second game as well, so it's a possibility that we have back-to-back doubleheaders. Starting at 11:45 with the Big Elks in Groover, Texas. Then we got the Elkettes immediately following that one. 1 o'clock is the scheduled tip time against Clarendon. We know for sure that the Elkettes will play again at 7:15 against the host, Childress. What we don't know, and it'll depend on how the Elks do this morning, is whether or not they will then play immediately following that one at 8:30 tonight. So a chance it's four different ball games tonight for the Brown and White.
I can't think of a time we've ever seen something like this. Typically, basketball is reserved for one day at a time. I can't think of a time where teams have played at more than one game on it in one day. This is new for you too, right? We've done this a long time. Have you done this before? Have you seen this before?
Oh yeah, yes, but I haven't seen it because the tournament was so full. I've seen it because the tournament was lacking in teams. Down at Altus a couple of years ago, and maybe even last year, I think it was the Elkettes that played two games in one day. So it's happened before, but that one was more of a necessity. With they didn't have enough, you know what I mean?
Right.
So they were able to kind of push it along, whereas this tournament on the boys' side, there are two full brackets worth of teams. What I'm telling you is like you're used to seeing an 18 bracket, just like a normal regular old bracket.
Mm-hmm.
There's two of those. That then the bracket champs will then meet on Saturday, and that means what that means is there are games scattered. You should see this. I should have like printed one out and showed it to you. Because the amount of boxes that are drawn on this thing is unlike anything I've ever seen. Normally, it just goes straight across, right or left, and then there might be something down below, for a third-place game or a seventh- and eighth-place game. There's boxes everywhere. Like there's boxes for boxes for boxes on teams that lose. It's an amazing bracket of which I have never seen.
It sounds almost like a – like you'll see those giant softball tournaments with a ton of teams, and you have to kind of find, okay, team, okay, we lost team or game one. We go down the bracket down here looking, and it just sounds very convoluted and complicated, I guess, is the word.
So
like that.
That's exactly, so in your mind, you're right on the right track, because when you go to like the state, like the OK Kids state softball or baseball tournaments, there's a red bracket and a blue bracket, right?
Right. Exactly.
So basically what this is doing is just putting those two things into one humongous one, and then all the pieces off of it as well.
I see. I'm trying to find if the bracket.
I can send it to you.
Oh, I found it. I found it online. Okay. Yeah, I see what you're talking about. This is massive.
Yeah, it's a huge thing.
Wow. So the question is, when you have as much participation as this does, and I know the answer, but I'll let you tell the listeners, you know, do they have the facilities? So how's the facilities going to work? Obviously, you can't do this all in one gym.
Right. There's two gyms. There's the varsity gym, and then what they call, when I talked to somebody there yesterday, they call it the back gym. It's being labeled as the JV gym. He said essentially that they are side by side connected. So there's two. I mean, it's not like you got to go to a totally different part of town or anything like that. It's all right there together. And so, you know, he's got it like they've done a really nice job. The one thing I've noticed about Sprackett is where they've situated the Elks, they've done me a favor. I can promise you that, because almost any like result that can happen even after today into tomorrow and even Saturday, there's games are basically back to back, because they know, everybody knows what the Elkhead schedule is. It's set. It's just kind of a round robin festival type thing.
Yep.
So they've done me a huge favor by, you know, there's only like one scenario where I would finish a game in one gym and miss the start of the next game in the other gym, trying to get everything taken down, rushed over, set back up. That could happen on, I think it's Saturday maybe, where there's a possibility of that happening. But there's a lot of things that have to go into it with wins and losses by the Elks for that to even occur. So kudos to the folks at Childress for helping me out, as much as they could.
I have this I probably shouldn't be talking about this on air because someone's going to steal my idea, but I have this business venture idea where basically that setup you're talking about, and if anyone hasn't seen how we set up, it's not as complicated for football, but there's a lot to set up and break down when we do these basketball games, sound and video, then a computer and everything. If you haven't seen it, go walk behind Aaron in the Pioneer Center and see what he has to set up and everything. I've had this idea of having like one compact unit, like a briefcase, if you will, and you set it down, you put it up, open it up, you plug it in, you're good to go. And it sounds like that's something that might benefit you today. I need to get on that. Hey, so I'm looking at the teams, the participating teams. It looks like Elk City's carrying the flag for Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken. Everyone else looks like they're from Texas. Some I recognize, like Pampa and Wellington, obviously Childress. Others I don't know. City View. I've heard of Spearman, Holiday. So is Elk City the only team from the great state of Oklahoma?
I believe so. Looking through the bracket here, I believe that is correct.
I think so. Yeah. Bushland?
I don't have the entirety of the girls. I just have, you know, the screenshot of the teams kind of around us in alphabetical order. But if it's the same as the boys, you know, back and forth, then yeah, Elk City would be the only team from Oklahoma in this. Like you said, you recognize a bunch of the names, but as far as other Oklahoma teams, I don't think so. I think it's just Elk City. And it kind of makes sense, right? Because, you know, outside of what we talked about yesterday with everybody on the show, you know, the five county going away created a need for some of those teams to find some. You know, this is kind of just a template every year, right? Everybody goes where everybody goes, and you know, this week, and then coming out of Christmas, and then 2 weeks later, you know, you kind of have that schedule set for years as far as where you're at and what tournaments you go to.
Yeah,
this first one of the season is always kind of, it's been a little bit up in the air for us which also then leads to the other ones too. So, you know, like this year, this is new. I'm going to go to Washington in the third week of January. That's new. And then the only tournament that's back on the schedule from a year ago is that Denton tournament that first week of January.
Yeah, that Washington gym is nice. You're gonna
yes, it is.
You've been there. You've been there. Yeah,
I have been there. I've been there for an area a couple years ago. And then also, I think we did some state tournament games there at Washington a couple of years back as well.
I think you're right. Yep, yep. So that's where you're headed. I'm headed over to Moreland. You know, it's like we're going in opposite directions. You're going down south. I'm going north up to Moreland for the Holiday Classic tournament. And I've been up there for this tournament. It doesn't say what year how long this tournament's been put on, but they've put it on for a few years. I've been up there covering another team before, and they put on a nice tournament. They have nice facilities up there. I'm anxious to get up there and seen some of these games and some of these outcomes. A lot of small school flavor in this one outside of the ENA JV, but obviously Moreland Turpin is in it, Wacomas, Sayre right down the road here. I had Fargo, Gage, Fort Supply, and Texoma. Texoma boys, of course, made state last year. Turpin was in the area tournament that met up with Canute. Canute actually ended their season in the girls area tournament last season. So there is some good quality basketball here. And, of course, the host team, Moreland, I saw some film on their boys anyways. They looked pretty solid too. And then the Merritt boys are in there. The Merritt girls will not be in there. That's why the ENA JV girls are there, kind of taking their spot. Merritt girls will be playing at the Bertha Frank Teague Invitational right after the Christmas break, but or Christmas holiday. But the Merritt boys will be there. And so we're already in this area where, obviously, Canute opens with Sayre today. The boys do. And if you're paying attention, that's a rematch of a game that took place on Tuesday night. So a quick turnaround for those two teams to play each other once more. And then if things work out, Canute could be playing Merritt again. So we're already starting to see our first rematches of the year in small school basketball in this area, at least with Canute anyways. So we'll keep an eye on did I lose Aaron? I think I did. I lost Aaron. He went to sell heck. I can't say the other word. But, and then, of course, there's a really big tournament happening over in Leedy. This one is the de facto five-county replacement tournament because there are a lot of familiar teams in here. I mean, you even pull up the bracket, it looks like the five-county bracket in its styling. So you got Hammond and Visai, you got Cheyenne, you got Leedy, Okarchee, Balco, Arapaho Butler, and Red Oak. So again, those are a lot of familiar teams, and a lot of Paragon schools are in that tournament. Obviously, Hammond, Cheyenne, Leedy, and Arapaho. So we're going to have a lot of coverage on that one. And the first game is pretty much going to happen right at the end of the show, 10 a.m. The Hammond girls, one seed in that one, will take on the Visai girls. And the Hammond boys will play at 11:15 versus Cheyenne. I'm just going to name off our local schools that are involved. And back up top in the girls bracket, Leedy and Cheyenne. That girls game, we had Lake Carpenter, the voice of the Leedy Bison and Lady Bison. He expressed a lot of anxiety for that game right there because Cheyenne is really starting to figure things out with that young nucleus that they have. And he's kind of worried, I think, what I heard, that Leedy might be looking ahead. So that could be an exciting first-round game that's happening at 12:30. And then the Leedy boys will take on Visai. Visai has some players, from what I hear, some really athletic dudes. And let me wrap up the rest. And of course, Arapaho Butler will take on Red Oak at 5:30 in the girls' game. And then Arapaho Butler will take on Okarchee. In fact, actually, the Arapaho Butler boys would play before the Arapaho Butler girls. So there we go right there. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take these brackets, and I'm going to put them on our Paragon TV Facebook page, as well as our Skinny on Sports Facebook page, so people can easily access them. I think we got Aaron back.
I am. I'm in a good spot. I'm up on top of a hill parked because of the construction. You know, it's kind of, they got it down to one lane.
Oh, yeah.
Before I drop off into another canyon and can't talk to you. So this is actually a fortuitous break.
Okay.
I have to stop right here on the middle of the highway.
All right. I was going over brackets, and one more I want to talk about, the Best of the Southwest tournament. Where is that at? It doesn't even say on this bracket. I should know this.
The Granite, isn't it?
That's at Granite, yes. Yeah. My apologies. Granite. And the Paragon school in that one is Eric, and they're actually taking on, at least in the girls' bracket. We only got a girls' bracket. We didn't get a boys' bracket. They're taking on the host school, Granite. Today, the print is small, and I can't read it. I think that says 8:20 tonight. And other schools in that one, Leukiwa Sickles and Pathways. I don't know what Pathways is. Indiahoma and Blair and Gracemont and Navajo. That's a good tournament, too. So I think, am I wrong, but all of the Paragon schools are in tournaments.
Yeah, I was checking one, actually.
What school is that?
Hollis. Do you know where Hollis is?
No.
They're at the Geronimo tournament.
Geronimo, yes. Okay.
The girls play Apache at 10 o'clock. And the boys play, don't know, at 11 o'clock. So they'll go back to back. Watch that one on Paragon TV. 10 o'clock for Hollis and Apache. I bet you I get the answer here in just a second on my text message.
All right, yeah.
Hey, let's talk about what happened yesterday. I told you. Hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Here, hang on a minute.
Oh, okay.
Frederick. Hollis boys play Frederick.
That'll be a good one. That'll be a good one. Frederick always produces some athletes. That'll be a good one. Yes, yesterday.
Right, talk about the OSSAA. The OSSAA ruling that came down allowing a one-time transfer for a student athlete. And, this goes to any extracurricular activity. So if you're, great at the one-act play or a speech or band or what have you, I assume this all goes into that big ball as well. So I think people are kind of jumping the gun and maybe not understanding exactly how this works. What it's saying is when you establish your roots your freshman year in high school, that's when you establish where you're at. So, like anybody, that whatever school you go to as an athlete, as a freshman, you establish yourself there. From that, from that point on, you have the ability now to transfer one time to where you don't have to live in the district, you don't have to live in the town, that one free transfer in those 4 years. But here's the thing, you have to get that turned in after the school year you're in into the summertime for it to affect the next year. So, people going, oh, yeah, you can play football at Bixby and then go play basketball. No. That's absolutely not what you can do. You have to get it done prior to the next school year. I think July the 15th is what I read was the deadline. This kicks in July 1 of 2024. So what you're saying is if you're a sophomore and you're playing wherever you're playing, you don't like it and you want to transfer somewhere as your junior year, you have to get that turned in by that deadline in order to be eligible for the next year. Here's another thing. You have to be accepted by the school you're trying to transfer to. And you don't just skip lines. If there's 10 people on the waiting list at the school you're trying to transfer to, you have to wait in line until you can get accepted. So it's not quite what people are making it out to be, but I do understand the trepidation about it, because with everything going on in like college football right now, college athletics, transfer portal, it is akin to that. I'll just say this, and talking to some people that I've talked to that are kind of involved in some of this, one of the main motivations, I think, for the OSSAA to implement this and the schools to vote for it was it eliminates a whole bunch of the hardship waivers that they have to rule on each and every year, and heck, each and every meeting. And so this kind of clears some of that stuff up from a technical side of it, administrative side of it for the OSSAA.
Okay, so I know you broke it down pretty good there, and there's going to be these questions. So I'll just ask these questions of the people that are having a problem with this. And the main one is, what prevents just someone from going from school to school to school to school, or schools, recruiting and creating super teams in any kind of sport? Like some people are saying that this actually encourages that kind of.
I mean, the recruiting rules that have always been in place are still in place. That's one thing that I guess you can still get kind of in trouble for.
Right.
I mean, the rule itself prevents that. As far as if you mean in the same school year, you know, that it's not, you know, you get one free, and then at that point, if you want to transfer again, you have to go through the same process you always had to, if you're not moving into the district. And that's the hardship, and then trying to prove to the OSSAA governing body why you deserve that hardship waiver to transfer.
Okay.
After right. once, you know, at, you know, the one time you can do it. That's the you can absolutely you get one time where you don't have to move. You don't have you get that time once you've planted roots as a freshman and started the you know your 4-year clock of eligibility.
So, and then after sleeping on it and listening to the guys before us, Morning Animals, talk about it a little bit, seeing some stuff online, people's opinions and everything, the thing I really took from it was it's the people who had a lot of problem with it were those in or near the metro areas, Tulsa and Oklahoma City, feeling like, you know, when you got like an Edmond, when you have Edmond North, Edmond Santa Fe, for example, and I've heard this example used more than once, where a kid can just, you know, go across the street or go across town to a school, and there's worry that these super, like the rich are going to get richer, the Jinxes and the Unions and the Bixbys and whatnot. And then I started kind of thinking about it. I was like, will this really affect, like us, who live out in this area with a lot of small schools? I don't know if it's going to affect us as much as we think it will.
I think the way it could, and you and I kind of talked at the end of the day yesterday, once this came down and started kind of reading some stuff about it, I think the one way it might maybe could is if one of the small schools kind of gets the reputation of we're the this. Like, for instance, let's just say right now, anybody in sort of kind of northwest Oklahoma, ceiling is the girls' basketball spot, right, for
right.
Class A.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if it comes to that, maybe, you know, maybe that happens. But here's another thing, though, Jared. I mean, the metro, I mean, it's a long way from, say, Norman to Edmond. You know, I don't know how much we'll see of that. But, gosh, outside of around, say, Elk City or around Altus or maybe around Woodward, it's a long ways between places, right? And that gets incredibly – because that's going to have to be on the parents. There's no bus that's going to go from Burns Flats to Eric and pick somebody up. So that means if somebody wants to do that, they're going to have to travel that distance every single day to get their kid in school.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was another thing I thought of, too, which is not as easy, the transportation and the distance between schools out here, it's not as easy. But we did have that conversation of it could it turn into where, like you mentioned, ceiling or, you know, in this school, there are good baseball schools, so you go there. And then that's where I feel like it feels like a disservice for other sports in said school. Because they're not getting the attention or the players, and it just diminishes competition. The competition isn't as spread out, and you start seeing these super teams, and it just becomes boring as a fan. We're like, well, you just know. Like, I respect, and we respect Ceiling Girls because of what Coach Hamer has done and how he's built that program, right? I mean, it wasn't going out, and I don't know the scenario, but it wasn't going out and finding these players and bringing them in. But there's that fear now that that's what's going to happen, is that someone's going to build a program because they're going to go out and go, hey, if you want to play basketball, you come to this school. Or if you want to play softball, you go to that school. That's the softball school. And they're like, okay, well, that is boring to me because, well, you're just going to know that's the softball school that got all those great players. They're going to go run through the season, and that's it. And it that's my fear. It just – as a fan, it just makes it a little boring and diminishes competition.
Here would be my question.
Dang it. Did we lose you?
I'm here.
Okay, yeah. Start over. What's your question?
Here would be my question about that. And I agree that that's entirely possible. But in this time of our society, there is
those know the assistant. Are we really sure that we want it to and maybe not get to play just to win a game? Or we're going to stay where they're at?
That sounded like a really good.
And,
sorry, Aaron. You're,
and maybe,
go ahead. Now you're clear. Okay.
Yeah, I'm all the way to the top here.
Okay, but, dude. I'm sorry. Start over again with your question.
So, with the way the society is right this second, will kids, and maybe this question is even should be for their parents more than kids, because I think kids will compete when their parents won't let them. You know what I mean? So, are there parents that are going to go, okay, I'll risk little Johnny's playing time by going to the school that has the best players, or do I want to stay here where I know he's going to get to play?
Yeah.
It may not be on as good a team, he may not win anything, but at least little Johnny's going to play here. I know he's going to play here, so I'm not going to risk sending him to the big bad school, and he may not be as good as I think.
That's a good point. It's going to really kind of reveal to those parents or to everyone else, like, okay, this is what they value. They value their kid on the bench more than in winning with their kid not playing, as opposed to, okay, you know, I want my kid to develop. I want my kid to play. I want my kid to participate. And I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question too. I think there, and I guess what the word we're looking for is pride. And there, I think there out here, there is a lot of pride. I think, and I still think there's a lot of school spirit out in this area. And where now that this is available or this will be available, I think we're going to see out here. We're still small town community. We think small town, we have roots, and we're going to say, no, I'm not going to leave this school because the grass is greener. I can get a better opportunity to win a state championship at that school. I'm not leaving the school that my parents went to and that my grandparents went to and that my aunt and uncles went to. I'm not turning my back on them. So I think there's a lot of pride still involved out here anyways. Or this, that, I might be answering my own question, how it's going to affect us. I don't think it will a lot. I think the idea of it is good. It comes from a good place where it allows opportunities for kids and whatnot. And we're going to see those instances where, okay, that's why that rule was there, or why they allowed that to happen, because it's going to help that kid out. But I think at the end of the day, there is a lot of pride for, you know, school pride and school spirit, where I don't think we'll see a lot of jumping around. Out here, anyways.
Yeah, and you know, I heard those guys talking about, you know, Kerry especially, when he was recruiting more than anybody on the Morning Animals, obviously, for what he does outside of the radio station. And his point was exactly right. If you can play, they'll find you.
Yeah.
If you're that good, you will be found. Now, is there a chance you might have a better chance at a bigger school? Sure. You know, and maybe that comes to the thing that, you know, gosh, I'm right here in 2A, they're not seeing me, maybe if I could move across town, or, you know, just up the street or just up the highway to a 4 or 5A school or what have you, and I get more exposure, maybe that does happen a little bit. But I think I would love to ask Ed now, after yesterday, I wish we were doing this today, if he notices a difference in the intensity level against Hammond on the girls' side because they're the defending state champs. I would guess yes, because I would guess anybody from Canute, Leedy, Cheyenne, Eric, Sweetwater, Sentinel, it doesn't matter where you're from around here, when you play Hammond, you want to beat them because they're the defending champs, even more than you would normally want to beat Hammond.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's always been a thing, and especially with those schools that are tradition-rich or have won even like 3 or 4 years removed from a title. Like, you know, that team's coming to town, or we're going to that team. Let's get up for them, because that means something to beat them. But, yeah, I see what you're saying. Man, it's already 9:34. We need to get a break in. Let's do that. We'll come back. What do you want to go? You want to go Oklahoma City Thunder? Here we are at the quarter pole, which is crazy to me. And talk about them. I mean, they played last night, fell short, but still having a great season. Also, we'll talk a little more about college football if time allows. And anything else that comes to mind?
If anybody's thoughts, anybody got any thoughts on the text line about this open transfer? I'm sure people do. So text us, 225-9698. Give us your thoughts and we can talk about it.
Yeah, we had one come in, now that you say that, said, what are you teaching a child if times get tough, if I can run away from it versus working harder to overcome it? That's right. And again, I think that goes back to my pride comment. I think there is a lot of that where out here anyways, where, yeah, we're going to overcome this. We're going to stay right here. And we're going to, how I'm trying to teach my kids is it's nothing's going to be handed to you. You got to get on the court. You got to get on the field. You got to work. You want to play, you got to work at it. So we're not going to go running to an easier place to play for you. We're staying right here. So, but it's never been an option for us. We're pretty rooted there. Jared Atha with you in studio. Aaron is on the road. Aaron Kalk on the road all the way, going all the way down to Childress, Texas. Big Elks in the Elkette basketball teams down there in the tournament / festival. A lot of teams, a lot of opportunity. For the Big Elks and Elkettes to take on some teams that are not too familiar with, which is kind of cool, and see how they do, and maybe give us an idea what the rest of the season is going to look like or what they need to work on or what they're really good at. So I'm anxious to see how they do today. Possibility of a lot of games in one day or the next 3 days. Be sure you tune on into BigElkTV.com to catch all the action right there. I'll be up in Moreland covering the Canute Trojans and Trojanettes. We know Merritt, the Merritt boys only, will be up there too. Paragon TV, that's where you need to go. All of our Paragon schools are in action. It'll all be on ParagonTV.com throughout the day. The Leedy Tournament, what do they call that one? The South Canadian Classic, the inaugural South Canadian Classic. Loaded bracket there. We know Eric's in the tournament. Hollis is in the tournament. Full day of basketball. Here we are. All right. You know, we mentioned the quarter poll for the Thunder. This is when you wrap up this part of the high school season this week and then a couple more games next week for most. And that's like the quarter poll for the high school schedule, too. I was looking at that last night and kind of realized that. I thought, man, this season is flying by, which it always does, Aaron. We blink and we think, man, it's already Christmas time. We'll hit January, and January will be a blur because of all the games that are played. And all of a sudden, we're in the playoffs in February. With the mad dash towards the Big House. Thunder played last night, fell to the Houston Rockets. Final score of course, my computer went away. But it just felt like they could not get over the hump. 110-101. Bad start. They fought, got it within five, got it maybe think three or two on multiple occasions. But that was a tough team. The Rockets are a physical team. And but still, despite the loss, Thunder are looking really, really good here about a quarter of the way through the season. Aaron, did you watch the game last night? And I mean, more importantly, so far so good, I'd say, for the Thunder. I know we got down in our rundown, you know, their playoff chances, and not just their playoff chances, but a high seed chance. Overall, how do you feel about the Thunder? Are we optimistic? Are we just wait and see? Or is this what you expected?
Not what I expected. They're better. And I expected them to be pretty good. But the loss last night puts them through 20 games, 13-7. That means essentially on a 52-53 game pace for the season of wins, which should just crush the over-under that's out in Vegas by a handful or more. I think the things that you wondered about with this team, most notably going into the season, what is Chet? Chet the number two pick in the draft last year? Yeah, he's every bit of that. And you just think about how much more that there is for him down the line as he gets more comfortable, as he, you know, gets more integrated with the team. Everybody figures out how he plays. The sky is the limit for him individually, which then puts the limit for the Thunder at another at least notch or two up the ladder than what we knew even going into the season, because of the question marks have been not seen Chet for last year because of that foot injury.
Yeah, he looks ready. He looked ready. Or he has looked ready this entire season so far. Chet does. I wonder about the injury and having that year off. It better prepares him to be NBA ready. So that's been a pleasant surprise. You know, I'm just going off of your rundown here. And I'll ask the question, what is the chance that Oklahoma City ends up a top four seed, a percentage chance? What do you say? After, I mean, you said you think they're better than what you expected. They're a good team on pace to win more than what Vegas thinks. So by virtue of all that, I mean, you're thinking five or higher. What do you think?
I think they're 50-50 to host a playoff series. Now, injuries could derail that or even – some cases maybe help that if it was injuries to another key player on a different team. But as far as just the Thunder goes, without having a rash of injuries, or obviously a Shea missing time, or Chet or J-Dub, whoever that might be, without, you know, a significant injury to the Thunder, I think they got a half. I think they're 50-50 to be a top four seed, which would be hosting a first round playoff series. And I think they're, gosh, maybe 75-80% to not even have to worry about a play in series or a play in game, which means they'd be top six.
Yeah, I got them at 45%, and the reason I got them right below 50% is because of the youth. I mean, they're going to have their lulls and throughout the season that could knock them down a little bit. Health is always going to be a thing. Who knows what they can do? I know the next question here is do they make a big time move, maybe before or right, or, you know, right before the trade deadline. Sam has done that in the past with competing teams. He's made some moves that helps complement them and gives them a final push. I'm not too confident that's going to happen. And then I really worry about the Josh Giddey situation, to be honest. They mentioned that. I like to get credit when credit's due. They mentioned that before us, and it's always been on the back of my mind. We won't dive too much into it, but the whole legal stuff with Josh Giddey, is it going to affect him, his preparation, his focus, whatever you want to call it, going into the game? I think they said he looked a little off last night. Until that is clear, I just – it gives me pause. So I'm just about 45%. Playoff team, 100%. Top four team, 45%. That's my answer.
See, I would say the youth helps, not hurts. And the reason I'd say that is I think those older teams, they nights off on purpose, nights off just mentally, whereas I think the Thunder steal two or three or four wins throughout the season because their youth helps them in that way. They're either, you know, fresher legs or just flat out more ready to go because they haven't been there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, you see that all the time with the, you know, L.A. We saw last year. They were in the play-in and they made the Western Conference Finals. They don't care that they have to go on the road in the first round. Golden State doesn't care that they'd have to go on the road in a series. That doesn't bother them. As long as, you know, those older teams, as long as they have everybody healthy and ready to go by playoff time, they're cool with whatever happens. Whereas the Thunder, they're so much younger and so much more hungry and just haven't experienced, you know, that those spots like those older teams have. I think that's probably where I bump up a little bit higher than you because I actually think that helps them being that young, having fresh legs and just their attitude and they just have more night in, night out.
You mentioned rest, other teams resting, you could look down your schedule and some competing teams go, okay, that's a team we could rest our guys. That's the game we can rest our guys. That's been the Thunder. You know, it's almost kind of like a homecoming game. You're like, okay, that's the game you want to schedule for your homecoming because those are guaranteed wins. So that's the guy. The Thunder aren't that anymore, but I wonder if some organizations think, well, it's a back-to-back and, you know, they're young. Well, let's rest them. And then the Thunder go and do what they do because they're just the better team. And the youth, I agree with that. The youth will keep them healthy. You would think it would. Back to the question about making a big-time move. Do you think Sam will make a move? Do you think he will explore the market? I don't.
No.
No.
No. If it does happen, though, I'll say this. If it does happen, I think it will correspond the contract of whoever it comes in. Its end will correspond to the beginning of, say, Chet or J-Dub extension. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because there's no way in the world that Presti is going to have all these assets and then just blow them and not only blow a couple of picks or whatever it is just to make a trade, but also screw up the salary cap for what's in the future. I mean, as much as it's cool and, you know, you look at some of the power rankings right now. ESPN yesterday had Thunder 4 in the league, which record-wise, maybe that's close to being true. But what's crazy is this is the infancy of this version of the Thunder. This isn't the championship window hasn't even opened yet, right? It literally hasn't. And so I know everybody wants to, you know, Pascal Siakam or this or that or the other. While the truth is the patience, people are going to get mad at Presti because of how patient he's going to be. They don't have to pay Chet and they don't have to pay Jada for like 3 more years. Okay? I mean, it's insane to realize that, but they don't have to. And the last thing, the thing that I think he may have learned more than anything else from the first version of the, the Thunder and you know, with the KD and the Russ, is those ancillary pieces, making sure those contract numbers fit with the big stars is so important. And so if you're going to dole out $20 million to Steven Adams, he better damn well be worth it. Otherwise, that limits you in picking up something else you might need to really make a push for a championship. So I think all these picks may be packaged in a certain draft to try to get a little bit higher. But I think you're going to see – look what Casey Wallace has been. When those big guys, and to me the three guys are obviously Shea, Chet, and Jada. When they all get to the level of they get extensions and they're making the big, big bucks, that's where I think all these picks are going to come in handy down the road, because then they could get a Cason Wallace type player at a cheap contract, at a very cheap price, that then they don't have to destroy salary cap for.
Right. Yeah, the Thunder have been, and I think, you know, I've mentioned this before during the rebuild, is the fans are, they're trained now to be patient. You know, we've seen multiple.
They are.
I mean, that's why I put them at 45% to make a top four seed. I'm like, let's just hold off, because I think they're still in this process of becoming that championship caliber team.
Yeah.
And there's always – every fan base has the crazy fans that think they should win it all every year. I get that too. But they're not the – what I'm saying is they're not a large market team like the Lakers, like the Knicks, that are going to go out and make those big acquisitions year in and year out to try to make a push for a title every year, where they expect to win a title every year. The Thunder are building towards something here. So, I'm with you. I don't think they're making any kind of trade. Nothing major. I mean, there might be – small complimentary trades but if any. So that's a very low chance right there. Wow, already 10 till the top of the hour. We got to take another break. We'll come back. There's some stuff that happened yesterday, Aaron, and I just wrote it down. We'll just do some quick hitters on some sports news that happened, and we'll wrap things up. It's a Thursday version of the Skinny on Sports. Aaron's on the road. I'm in studio, about to hit the road. A lot of tournaments happening in the area. Again, ParagonTV.com, BigOakTV.com if you want to catch all these games today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Jared Aetha in studio, and Skinny is on the road. He's on his way to Childress, Texas for the Big Elks and the Elkette basketball teams. I'm clearly doing radio, and people are coming in asking me questions. Nothing ever changes, Aaron. When you leave, nothing changes. They just, yeah, it's okay. Just come pop on in. Some quick hitters. Stutzman allegedly made an announcement that he's going to the NFL. I haven't seen anything official from his socials or anything, but a lot of word is that he did meet with the coaching staff and Brent Venables and told them he's moving on. Apparently, he got some high grades to move on to he could be taking lower first round or even high second round. Thoughts on that, if it's true, Aaron?
Nah, it makes total sense. What's he going to do to get a better grade than first or second round? You know, he's not going to get a bunch bigger, probably not going to get a bunch faster, probably not going to get a bunch stronger. And so if I'm him, I strike while the iron's hot. It stinks for OU because of how good a player he was. But at the end of the day, guys like him can only help Brent Venables in the future be able to point to recruits and go, that guy came here. You know, when he was here before I got here, not much. It took me 2 years to make him into a first rounder or a second rounder.
Yeah, it was a perfect marriage when he got here. When Venables got here, had Stutzman, they just seemed like they were made for each other. Just imagine if he had his hands on him for his entire college career. It could have been real. I mean, not just a maybe first-round guy, probably a first-round guy. And I think he's had a great year. I don't blame him at all. I mean, he's going to make some money. Hard to turn that down. In the NFL, McCarthy, Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy, hear this? He had surgery yesterday, appendicitis, had to get his appendix taken out. Will he, won't he coach against the Eagles on Sunday? I say yay. I think he will.
Are we sure we want him to?
He's been good this year, I think.
He's done a nice job calling plays. There's no doubt about that. But we've all seen his ability or inability to manage the clock in crucial times and crucial games. I don't know who else is there. Dan Quinn, I'm sure, would be the obvious replacement, at least for a game on an interim basis. But, yeah, I'm sure if he can, he'll be there. And one thing to watch for that, Dak Prescott, go back and look at his numbers against the Eagles. He shreds the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes, and the Cowboys traditionally have been good at home against the Eagles. And I like their chances on Sunday. And I will see. Let's see what McCarthy, if he can be there or not. Why not? I don't know. Can he coach from a booth in a hospital bed? I don't know if that's even allowed. But that's an interesting little nugget to that rivalry. In the Major League Baseball, we finally have had our first major trade announcement. Juan Soto traded to the Yankees. The Yankees beefing up their lineup anyways, joining Aaron Judge. Good get right there for the Yankees to get Juan Soto. But did they give up too much? Did you see the trade details on that?
Yeah, I didn't know any of those guys, to be honest with you, that they gave up. Yeah, that's wrong. I'm one of those guys. If I can get the star and you can get some of my prospects, I'll do that trade every time, because I just don't know what the guarantee is. No matter how highly rated some of these prospects are, I don't feel there's ever a guarantee that you're actually going to see those guys making a difference in the big leagues. So for me, I'll take the Yankee side of it all day long, because we've seen Juan Soto be a fantastic piece to a championship team in the past.
Yeah, at Washington, obviously, he was productive. Probably a little injury issues. What he was at the Angels, and then San Diego. This is a good spot for him. A lot of pressure off of him where he can excel. So that was the first one. I wonder what the next one's going to be. We've had some minor moves in the MLB. Obviously, the winter meeting's happening right now, which tells us a lot of talks could happen between GMs. And of course, the one everyone's looking at is Ohtani. Word is that he will have a decision made and something could be announced by the end of the weekend. You know what? I heard that last weekend too. So who knows what's going to happen right there? Do know that the Rangers are pretty much taking themselves out of the Ohtani race. They gave it their best shot. Probably saw some writing on the wall and said, we're not going to waste our time. Let's move on and start building for another run next year. And they went and got Yates from the Braves, a relief pitcher, on a one-year deal, which was not bad. He came off of Tommy John surgery, didn't pitch a lot last season. He was an all-star at one point in his career. We'll see if that beefs up their bullpen. All right, anything else, Aaron? I think we got a lot covered there. Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick, did you see that Seattle trade with Atlanta?
No, I did not.
Shipping a couple of bats. It didn't make any sense to me that Seattle would make that trade unless they're clearing space for somebody.
Yeah.
Could that be an Ohtani spot? West Coast, Seattle, it's one of those cities that's pretty multicultural. You know, Ichiro's been there. Ichiro starred at Seattle.
I wonder if they bring in Ichiro to help, you know, pitch him. You know what I mean? To
they would be complete idiots if they didn't.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They would have to bring him in. That's a must. You have to. Yeah. It's always been kind of friendly to the Japanese market. I've been to Seattle. I've been there on a just switching planes or whatever, and it is. It's very. Very friendly to that community, and then of course right there on the West Coast, obviously Anaheim and the Dodgers there too, but easier for him to get home, I guess. But that's interesting. I've heard a lot of buzz about Toronto. The Toronto fans are just, they think it's locked up.
I
don't know where they're getting that. They also think Bautista won the fight and that he didn't. So
it's West Coast. No doubt about it.
I think at the end of the day, if you're gonna ask me right now, who is it? I think it's the Dodgers. I think it's always been the Dodgers, and I think that's where he's gonna go. Final thing.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say the final thing today. Well, it's a day that will live in infamy, Aaron. We kind of buried the lead. December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor. Obviously it was 82 years ago, way before our time, but still. Shaped America that day.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're on Twitter, I say this every year on this day. If you're on Twitter, go follow the USS Arizona Twitter feed. Okay. They essentially live tweet this day from all those years ago.
As
all kinds of
chronologically as it was happening, right? Like
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And there's photos. It is an amazing follow throughout the day. That USS Arizona Twitter account. You know what it would be right now? What, probably 5 o'clock in the morning out there, or whatever the hour difference is.
Right.
It is awesome. It is so awesome. Do it, and you see things that you've never seen. You get facts about that day. For Pearl Harbor that you've never heard. It's a really, really, there's two different accounts that I say this yearly for. It's this one, and then on 9/11, Ari Fleischer, the press secretary for George Bush back on 9/11, he does the same thing throughout the day chronologically as if it was happening live right then. Do it. It's cool. It's an amazing history lesson. And I'll say this about that day. Thank God that that's not happening right now. Because the folks in charge, we'd be speaking Japanese.
No, oh, my goodness. Don't even want to think about that. Thank you. Yeah. Crazy day, 82 years ago. And that's a good follow on Twitter. I forgot about that. All right, Aaron, we got to go. I got to hit the road. You are on the road. Again, reminder, he's going to be broadcasting all the Big Elk and Elkette basketball games from the Childress Tournament, of course, in Childress, Texas. That's why he is not here, and he's going to go down there. BigElkTV.com, only way you can watch and listen to it. And then every one of our Paragon schools, a part of the Paragon TV network, is playing in tournaments, except for the Merritt girls. They'll be playing in the Birth of Frank Teague a little bit later this month. But you can catch a lot of games today. I'm talking from now all the way till tonight. You're going to find a game. So go check out ParagonTV.com. All right, Aaron, travel safe. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Night, 11:45 and 1 o'clock for the Big Elks and the Elkettes.
That's right. All right. Thank you, Aaron. Take care. That's going to do it for us. Everybody have a wonderful and safe rest of your Thursday. You've been listening to The Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the Esports Animal.
You've been listening to The Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.